Nightlife with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.
It's been described as a miracle weight loss drug. You might have heard of the drug Ozempic. It's prescribed for people with diabetes type 2, but right now across the country, good luck if you can find it, there's a shortage of the drug. That's because many Australians without diabetes type 2 are getting off-label prescriptions and taking the drug for weight loss. In July 2020, the drug was listed on the PBS, the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme, so that it costs about $40 for a monthly course of weekly injections. Now, the same amount on a private script or off-label can cost $130 or more. So, what's going on and what is Ozempic's effect on the body? And is it really true that we have a one-stop pill for obesity? Seems unlikely. When will the shortage of this drug for people who do need it, i.e. those with diabetes type 2, when will that shortage end? Joining us is Dr. Natasha Yates. Natasha is Deputy Lead of General Practice at the Faculty of Health Sciences and Medicine at Bond University. Dr. Yates, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks, Phil. Good evening. Good to be here.
Tell me, can you explain to us what does Ozempic, what does it do to the body?
So it has a few different ways that it works. It's quite complicated. One of the simple ways that it does work is just making people feel fuller, and that is through acting on appetite centers in the brain. It also slows stomach emptying, but it also acts on the secretion of insulin and glucagon. So it seems to have a metabolic effect. It's not just that people feel full and stop eating. And that's one of the reasons why it actually works so well in diabetes.
So in terms of diabetes, tell me why is it beneficial?
It actually helps regulate blood sugar levels and helps the body behave more sensitively towards the hormones that it should. It does help diabetics lose weight, and this is one of the reasons why it was discovered that it was such a potent weight loss medication as well. Now, any time a diabetic is able to lose weight, their diabetes control improves significantly as well. But as you say, many people who don't have diabetes have now realised that the medication can work for them as well, just to help them lose weight.
But it wasn't developed as a weight loss drug, was it?
No, it wasn't. And this is an example. There are a number of examples where a medication has started to be used for one thing and ends up being used for another. For example, there was an antidepressant that was being used to treat depression, and they realised that everyone who was using it stopped smoking, and they just no longer felt like smoking. And so that was the origin of Zyban. So this happens. We start off looking for one thing and find out that one of the side effects is actually an effect that we really want to harness. And that's what's happened with Ozempic.
Right now, people with type 2 diabetes are apparently having problems getting it. Is that right?
That is correct. It's been going on for months now. We were told initially that the shortage would end after a couple of months, and the latest we've heard is now that maybe the end of March. But this is not just an Australia-wide problem, Phil. This is actually internationally a problem, because this medication has been used widely, particularly in Western countries where people can afford it. So the company that makes it has had to, they literally were not able to keep up with the demand, and they've had to build a whole new facility to try to start making enough of this.
In Australia, it's a prescription-only drug, isn't it?
Correct, it is. It's prescription-only, and it's on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme for people with diabetes. But it's a number of people, as you mentioned at the beginning, have been getting it prescribed off-label as well.
So if you go, but you can't go to your doctor and say, I'd like some, can you?
I get that request many times a week.
Do you really?
So I do. And part of the thing is that people see and hear about it through social media or through conversations with friends. And so they come in just to inquire about it. And really, I think part of the problem for us as doctors is if we are going to, firstly, we've been asked not to prescribe it off-label until it's available for people with diabetes. And I think, you know, all doctors are very much on board with that. But once it does become more readily available, it does work. It does help people lose weight better than any other medication we've had on the market to date. And so we've got to think carefully about, well, who really should have access to this medication?
Yes, the idea of the weight loss pill is something that's been with us from time immemorial, hasn't it?
Well, if only
it were so simple. But, of course, you know, we all eat too much fat and sugar, and that's what's caused this post-war generation to become so fat. I mean, obesity is, a major problem. never used to be, but that's because we, in part, learnt to eat so much fat and sugar and to some degree salt as well. Our diet has changed and that's what's killing us. But
so it's our lifestyle. I mean, think back to a couple of generations ago, most work was very physical. Mm. And so nowadays, most of our jobs are sitting down in front of computer screens, certainly not as burning off as many calories in our day-to-day as we used to. So it's a combination.
Mm. Yeah, the whole thing's a sort of an example of what happens when an idea takes off on the internet too, hasn't it? Isn't it? I mean, media platforms like TikTok really kicked this off in a big way, didn't they?
Very much so. And I think that was the interesting thing. So for a lot of us who were GPs, we've been prescribing it for over a year. And all of a sudden, we were just flooded with people coming in and asking us about it. And we realized that it was social media that was popularizing it.
Mm. Yeah, it's not developed for weight loss. Has there been any research into whether it is an effective weight loss drug, or how safe is it to use as a weight loss drug, or any of that?
Yeah, great question. And I think that's a really important question. So there has been research into whether or not it's helpful for weight loss and whether it's safe, and definitely ticks on both of those. Mm. And also other versions of this. Now, this is one of a class of drugs. So there are other companies that produce similar drugs, and they are finding the same thing. It does seem to be other drugs in this class are also safe and effective. Mm. But it is, we've got to always, with any medication, we've also got to think about, as you say, the side effects. There don't seem to have been any major side effects apart from ones that you'd expect, like gastrointestinal discomfort, nausea, vomiting, bloating, those kind of things.
Right.
But it hasn't been around long enough. And I think that's one thing that does concern me. I've practiced enough years to see drugs come onto the market, seem wonderful, and then a few years later quietly slide away because we suddenly find they've got a really nasty side effect that wasn't picked up in initial studies. So we do have to be careful.
Yeah, you take one pill a day, do you?
So for this particular form, so the Ozempic...
It's an injectable, is it?
Is an injectable, yes, and you only need to inject it once a week because it has a very long half-life.
Right, so who injects it? The doctor? Your GP?
No. Patients inject it, and great point, because for many people that is not acceptable. Now, remember, a lot of people with diabetes have become quite used to the concept of needing to inject themselves, and injecting themselves once a week is obviously preferable to injecting themselves several times a day, mm-hmm. which is what they need to do with insulin. So if they can put off needing to use insulin by using something like this that works well, then once a week is great. But for many people, they definitely do not want to be self-injecting under any circumstances. There is an oral form of this, but it's not available in Australia, and I haven't heard any hints of it becoming available in Australia anytime soon.
All right, so you have to inject yourself once a week, is that it?
Once a week, correct,
okay.
Yeah.
So you lose weight while you're on the drug. What happens when you stop being on the drug?
Yeah, and this is the problem, right? So it's not curing diabetes. What it's doing is helping treat it. Sorry, not curing. Well, it's not curing diabetes. It's also not curing obesity. Mm. It is helping people lose weight while they're on it. But once people stop taking it, they gradually put the weight back on. And that's herein lies the rub, because we don't know how many years it's safe to keep using it. It's only been around for a couple of years. And so we do know that while people are taking it, if they do make massive changes to their lifestyle, if they have had a poor lifestyle, then they can help keep the weight off even after they've stopped it. But most people do gradually regain that weight.
Because the plain fact is, unless you've changed your metabolic rate somehow, or you're eating far less, in other words, portion control, quantity, and exercising some more to change your metabolic rate, just because you've lost weight doesn't mean anything, does it?
Unless
you've changed the fundamentals, it'll simply go back on again.
Exactly. So it's not really a miracle drug that everyone would love it to be. It's not a cure. It's a management of a chronic condition.
Hmm. What side effects does it have?
So we know that the main side effects are gastrointestinal, nausea, bloating, constipation, those kind of things. There has been a question around whether or not you can develop pancreatitis. You might remember one of the ways I said it works is by affecting the secretion of insulin and glucagon. Those are secreted by your pancreas. So there have been a number of case reports of people developing pancreatitis. But it doesn't seem to be a very high number. So it's still one of those things that are question marked. There's also a possibility that there's an increase in thyroid and pancreatic cancers in people taking this. But those kind of cancers are so very rare that it's really, again, a question mark. We'd have to watch what happens to millions of people over a number of years before we knew.
How much weight do you lose?
People are losing anywhere from around 15 to 20% of their weight, which is significant. Before Ozempic, yeah, the average was around, you know, kind of 5 to 7% for most of the weight loss drugs.
But it goes back on when you stop taking the drug.
Yes, it goes back on gradually. And I think here is the question mark is it worth having lost it for the year or two that you took it? Or is it something that, you know, 5 years' time it will have made no difference whatsoever?
Some people might think, oh, well, if I'm okay with a small injectable, that's okay. Once a week's fine with me. If I can lose a significant amount of weight, I don't mind doing it once a week. See, I mean, is the idea that it could be safe as a long-term solution?
I think, yes. So obviously people with diabetes are going to need to take it long term. And so we were very closely watching and seeing what happens with them. I would hope that we don't see too many long term side effects, but you just never know.
Yeah, people do want a quick fix, doesn't it? One of the reasons that obesity is a problem is that not just the weight, of course, it's all the unhealthy all the unhealthy practices associated with that cause, you know, societal medical problems, hospital admissions and so on. In other words, people aren't looking after themselves, they're not eating properly and they're not exercising properly. So this doesn't really solve those problems, does it?
Well, Phil, I'd push back on that a little bit because I do have a number of patients who are trying hard. They're trying hard to eat the right things and to exercise, and they still reach a point at which they can lose some weight, but they reach a point where it no longer is being effective anymore. And we do know that metabolically, when you lose weight quickly, you get to a point where your body switches almost into a starvation mode. And so not let you continue to lose weight. And that's very, very frustrating for patients. And that's one of the reasons this medication is something that a lot of people are hopeful about, because it seems to help people get past that hump and keep on losing weight. My patients who've done best on it are those who do really hit the exercise hard. It seems to kind of supercharge their efforts. And really, you know, I feel like this is a tool in the toolbox. It's not going to be the magic pill, but maybe be one extra thing that people can use as part of their whole weight loss journey and approach. All of that said, we do live in an obesogenic environment. There are so many reasons why
we're not really addressing the fundamentals at all here, haven't we? Exactly. We've eaten our way into this problem with too much fat and too much sugar, and we expect a drug to get us out of it.
And the problem is that because it's multifactorial and is going to require a whole lot of hard work, it's not something that particularly, you know, politically is going to be a nice problem to solve.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just on the shortage, though, I'm with Natasha Yates. Dr. Yates is Deputy Lead General Practice Facility of the Faculty of Health Sciences and Medicine at Bond University. We're talking about Ozempic, this so-called miracle weight loss drug, which does seem to work. Dr. Yates saying she has prescribed it regularly. It does seem to work for weight loss clients. If the drug is so effective, you'd imagine there'd be huge efforts to make lots more of it. What is the end of the shortage at hand?
Well, we have been told that the company that makes this particular medication is making a lot and attempting to meet global supply. I've seen some photos of the brand new shiny facility that they've been building, and it looks pretty impressive. I think like with anything in life, if there's something that's working well, there are always going to be competitors jumping on the market. And I know that there are some other companies that are making similar medications too. So you're right. I think there will be a lot available over the coming years. And it's really something I think two-thirds of Australians are overweight or obese, right? So two-thirds of our listeners are going to, at some point in the next couple of years, find out about this, hear more about it, want to know whether or not this can help them. And I think it's important, as you are doing, we talk about it and explore the pros and cons.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Fascinating, in fact. All right. In the short term, though, it doesn't seem as though that you'll be able to prescribe it as a weight loss drug until there are better supplies available.
Correct. And at the moment, Australian GPs have been asked by the Therapeutic Goods Administration not to prescribe it for weight loss, right, only to prescribe it for diabetes. So I do have a number of patients with diabetes who have told me that they're starting to see it trickle back into pharmacies, only in small amounts, though. Right. I think it'll be a little while still before we see it available for people who are wanting to use it for weight. I do just want to make a comment, though, Phil, something I'm really mindful of, that we've talked a lot of overweight and obesity, but there are some people who actually have a really kind of a strong psychological aversion to their own weight, and they may even be a healthy body weight, and they just would like to use a medication like this to drop a few more kilos. And one of my concerns as a doctor is I think people might use this medication rather than treating obesity or overweight to treat their own aversion to their own body weight. And so I think that's something we need to be careful of as a community as well. I don't think it should ever be something that's available off script, so that kind of pathological use of it or really unhelpful use of it doesn't happen.
Yeah, interesting. Natasha, great to talk. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.